And we're going to look basically at the entire chapter, and I want to think about the subject of a few good Christians, a few good Christians. And I'll tell you what Southside Baptist Church needs is a few good Christians. And listen, Christians are not filled with anger, they're not filled with bitterness, they're not filled with gossip, they shouldn't be. Good Christians, people that are Christ-like, little Christ, if you will, that's what a Christian is, somebody who is born again and loves the Lord and wants to follow the Lord. And there's truly is a there's a harvest that's out there. And of course, we know the old songs that, you know, my house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? Songs like that. You know, we stop and think about it. The reality is sometimes a lot of Christians, people who are saved, maybe we'll just call folks who are saved, think that it's always somebody else's responsibility. It's always somebody else's job. It's somebody else's job to clean the church. It's somebody else's job to cook the meals. It's somebody else's job to, you know, go soul winning. And usually that's, I wish I could remember that old quote where it talks about anybody and somebody and nobody, you know, and they all thought that somebody was going to do it and then nobody ended up doing it, right? We all thought somebody was going to win them for Christ, but nobody ended up winning them to Christ. And so the church ends up being stale and quiet and too passive, as the song just said. We need some Christians today that would be willing to take the gospel plow and be able to grab a hold of those handles and be able to plow for the Lord Jesus Christ and do it for God's glory. Not for their glory, but for the Lord's. And so that's what the idea is here today. In verse 1, the Bible says, "We then as workers..." You know, I understand a lot of times that people who are workers, they do spend time complaining, but I usually find that when people are actually working, they're not complaining. Are you with me just for a moment? When they're actually working, they're too busy to complain. They got something going on. It's when the guys, you know, the state workers are standing around holding, all three guys are holding up one shovel. And they're, you know, like, "We just, you know, this union thing and all these, you know, they just don't pay us enough and all these kind of things, you know, there's something to complain about." But I know this, when I'm busy, I don't have time to complain about anything. I don't have time to complain about the guy next door. I don't have time to complain about somebody in the church, or I don't have time to complain about the color of the carpet in the church. But when we're not busy, we find a way to find something to complain about. Well, that just could be better, you know? And I'm sure that those guys, you know, they could have got some better candidates in here, you know. They could have got this happen and that happen, you know. And all those things we may throw out there and find things to complain about. But I know this, when we're busy for God, first of all, we're in the will of God. Second of all, we're so busy, we don't have time to complain and to worry about things. We just have to be busy doing. The Bible says, "We then as workers..." Notice that, workers. How many of you, you're a worker, you like to work, but you like to work alone? Anybody like to work alone? All right, I do. I honestly do. I like to work alone. Some of you say, "Well, I don't know why you don't let some of the people in the church do things." Well, to be honest with you, it's because I like to work alone sometimes. Sometimes, and I need to get better at that, all right? I need to improve in those areas, because the Bible doesn't say those that are workers that work alone. Notice it says that we then as workers together. Together. You know what's interesting sometimes in a church is people all want to do the same job. They want to do the nice, neat, clean job, you know, but they don't want to do the job that's the dirty job. And those are the kind of folks that I love, that they're just like, "Hey, if you want me to scrub the toilet, I'll scrub the toilet. That's whatever you want me to do, Pastor. If you want me to clean the baptistry," you know, sometimes if you don't, most of you don't go in the back of the baptistry, but if you go back there, sometimes, you know, there's cobwebs everywhere. And it's like this, you walk in there and it's like, "Oh, whoa, what just happened?" It's like the Bible says spiders are even in the king's palaces, right? So those spiders, they just like to make their nests and make their webs and all those kind of things. But they're busy. They're busy about their work. People, they'll many times, and I'm not just talking about Southside Baptist Church, I'm just talking about churches and people in general. Even at work, you know, what's everybody want? Do they want the hard-working job, or do they want the nice cushy job at the desk, you know? I want my own desk. I want my, you know, if you ever work in a place where you have cubicles or anything like that, and then you get promoted to have your own office, I mean, it's like, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. I actually have my own office. You know, I mean, that's the job that everybody wants. They want a job where they see promotion and they see, you know, people see them and they get their name on the plaque and, you know, a business card. You know, it's amazing. You get real excited about business cards and then you use them for a week or so and you're like, oh, I don't have any bit more business cards. You know, like, oh, I don't remember where they're even at, you know, but you get excited about those things. And we want those important jobs. But, you know, the Bible says we then as workers together with who? Together with him. We are workers together with him. Notice the Bible says, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't receive the grace of God in vain, but it says in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee or drawn thee or shown thee. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want you to think about what God needs. God needs a few good Christians today. And the first thing that you have to do to become a Christian, what must I do to be saved. You have to be saved. You have to be your salvation. I want you to consider our salvation this morning. Our salvation is what makes us a part of God's work, God's business. Now, there's a lot of people trying to get involved in God's work. And I believe one of our men this week and the last week or two has mentioned a couple times to us that, that there's sometimes in churches today, there's a lot of people in churches and they're just sitting there and they think they're saved, but we don't know if they really are or not. They're not doing anything for the Lord. There's no fruit to show forth that experience, that salvation. Now, if you're going to go and you're going to work for a company or for a business, especially today the way things are, usually there are some things that you have to do to be able to get that job. You have to go to a job interview, you know. Well, you may have to be, obviously, before the interview, you probably have to put in an application. You may have to give it a resume, you know, that type of thing too at the same time. Then you're probably going to go in for an interview. You know, that scary interview where you have to answer a whole bunch of questions. Brad said I was going to have to candidate again. So I guess since you know nothing about me, I may have to stand in front of you and answer a lot of questions again. Those are scary interviews, right? Yeah, those interviews. And man, people are going to ask me a lot of questions. And so you got to go through the interview process. And then in the interview process, maybe before or after the interview process, they say, well, if we're going to interview or after we're going to interview you, we need you to take a drug test. Everybody loves taking drug tests. You love to have to go and do all what you have to do to take a drug test, right? And that's one thing you have to do. And so you have to go through that hoop, if you will. And you go through that hoop, and then, you know, if it's depending on what the position is, and you may end up getting a key to the business or something like that. And so you got to take those steps before you get those things. And then, well, here's your desk, or here's where you'll be working. And if you're going to a factory, you know, here's where you'll be standing all day long, you know. And on the assembly line, this is where you'll be. But you got to go through this long process to be able to be approved, to be able to work that job. Are you with me? Well, to be able to be a Christian worker for the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to be saved first. You got to put your faith and trust. You got to be born. You must be born again. You got to go back to that day, if you will, of conception. Christian salvation conception. When were you conceived as a child of God? I'm talking about salvation. I'm not talking about your birth. You say back, hey, well, I can go back to March 26, 1978. Yep, that makes me 31 years old. But anyways, everybody, you're supposed to laugh about that. I missed it by 10 years. So anyways, when is your Christian birth? When is the new birth? Can you go back to that and say, hey, I'm part of the family of God. Pastor, I can get involved in that song like you talked. I can get a hold of the gospel plow. Why? Because I'm a Christian. I've received the gospel. Have you been born again today? Have you been saved? Notice the Bible says, for he saith, I have heard thee in verse 2, in a time accepted, in the day of salvation, have I secured thee that, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Listen, folks, we as a church have to have a burden for those that are around us who are lost. We have to have a burden for them as a pastor. We have to have a burden for the lost. And we may not necessarily win souls exactly the same way. We may not, and by that I mean, we may not go about the same process of talking to somebody about Christ. You may go, some people go right up and when they witness to somebody, man, they just slam them right in the face with the Bible. And hey, that's okay. Some people may go up and say, well, it's really sunny and beautiful out today and the weather's really nice. But eventually they're in the same place in the Word of God and the Romans Road lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a different way to win somebody to Christ, but today, if you're not saved, you need to get saved first so you can get busy in the work of Christ. Hey, there's something going on down at Southside Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but for the last 6 months, there's been something going on at Southside Baptist Church. I'm not sure if I figured it all out yet, but there's something going on, all right? And there's a lot of questions, and there's a lot, maybe not as many answers as we would like to have, but God's doing something. God's doing something that's exciting, and God's doing something that he would have us to be, I believe, stirred up. I know he stirred me up, shook me up, got me going, and some excited about some things that God is doing and some opportunities and some meetings and services that we have here. And man, I'm excited about Easter. How about you? Excited about a sunrise service? We actually have something to celebrate. You tell me what some of the other religions in this world actually have to celebrate. We can celebrate that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, no matter what man may say, folks. We know he's alive. We have something to be excited about. And it doesn't matter if I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania, I'm in Coshocton, Ohio, or I'm in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I believe it is. It doesn't matter where I'm at. We can still get excited about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know what salvation is. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I'm not really excited about all this church stuff anymore. I mean, we've been going to church. In fact, Pastor, we've been here since you've been here, and there's really just nothing in it all that exciting. Then you need to get on your hands and knees and get right with God. It's not about Pastor Brindley. It's not even about Southside Baptist Church. It's about what God's already done. And if we can't get excited about what God has done, then we ought to question some things. One, we need to question our salvation, first of all. If you're not excited about what God's trying to do in your life, then I'd first of all question your salvation. And second of all, I'm not getting you trying to get, I wouldn't stand up here and try to make you confused. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Did I really make up? Did I pray a prayer? And did I really? I'm not here to confuse you. And in fact, I don't really appreciate people that get up and try to confuse people. I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm trying to tell you, listen, if you're not excited about what God is doing in your life, then first of all, you may have to go there and question that salvation. Did I really get saved? And then you have to question if you are saved and you say, yes, I know for a fact I've done what God told me to do. I know I'm born again. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Then you may have to question some other things. Question why you're where you're at. Are you living in sin? You see, a Christian living in sin will have no excitement about the Lord's work. All they're excited about is sin. And they're wrapped up in it. You say, well, I can't even get excited about that anymore. That's what sin will do to you. It will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. And it will keep you a whole lot longer than you ever wanted to stay. Sin will destroy your life as a Christian. But it starts, if I'm going to get busy for God, am I saved? I got to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Listen, March 31st, 2019. It's an interesting day. It's my wife and I's 18th anniversary. It marks a couple other anniversaries of different things in our lives, and maybe an anniversary for some reason for you. It's a birthday of one of our young people, one of our little ones in the church. But March 31st, 2019 could be the day of your salvation if you're not saved. Maybe you don't understand this and know this, but that's why we still have an old-fashioned altar at Southside Baptist Church. Well, most churches don't have altar calls anymore. That's why most churches aren't seeing people saved, and all it is an emotional stir. People get emotional in churches. It's funny. It's amazing when people get excited about things. You go to a ball game. I've watched it. I've went to ball games, especially baseball games, with people who they don't even like baseball. Like, I don't even want to be here. And all of a sudden, something big happens, and somebody beside them is all excited, and they're like, what are you all excited about? And then the next inning, another play happens, and that person's all excited again. And they're like, man, he just keeps getting excited. Eventually, if you keep going to those ball games, you're going to start getting excited about the ball game. Why? Because they're emotional. Woohoo! Yay! And the confetti comes down. You get it in your mouth and you're like, blah, 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 what in the world? And people get excited. Can I tell you here this morning, we can muster up excitement. That don't mean it's of God. We can get some drums and put them back in the baptistry just to keep them nice and light, but we can beat on them and we can get you excited. Some of you get so excited you get mad and leave. That's what you'll do. And I'd say, good for you. Actually, I don't think you should leave. I think you should take care of the problem. Hey, we're not here to muster up excitement. We're here to praise God for who He is. And we do that because we know we're saved. We know we're born again. We know God's done something special, and God wants to do something special. There's a reason for the altar so people can still come and get saved. Brother Paul was sharing with us not just this week. The church he was at one point in time, I guess the pastor, somebody asked the pastor, well, what would you do if somebody come forward and wanted to get saved? And he said, I'd tell them to go down the street to the next church. And why do we have church? So people can get saved. And so Christians can grow. And we can have Christian friends and fellowship together. And that's why I never could understand why people Christians want to fight. We're supposed to be here to encourage each other, because I promise you, guess what? When you're discouraged, you need a friend. And a man who hath friends must first show himself friendly. And people sit around and spend their lives, I don't know why nobody likes me. Because you haven't shown yourself friendly. That's what church is for. Encourage one another. Help. Edification. For prayer. It's for people being able to get saved. It's for people being discipled and trained and taught our salvation. We need a few good Christians. They need to be saved, first of all. That's the prerequisite. Hey, what's the prerequisite for joining Southside Baptist Church? You got to be saved and you got to be scripturally baptized. That's where it is. Can't join the church. I'm sorry, you can't join Southside Baptist Church unless you've been saved, born again. That's what I mean by saved. You've been born again and you've been scripturally baptized. If you have, come on in. We'll take you, dirty, rotten sinner, anyway. Because you know what? Every one of us that joined Southside Baptist Church are no different. We're all dirty, rotten sinners. But here's the difference. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. And listen, that's the prerequisite. You come, you need to be saved. You're going to serve God today. Well, I don't know what I can do. Well, I'm telling you what, it isn't complaining. That's not what you need to do. There's something that can be done. I want to get busy for the cause of Christ. Well, make sure you're saved first. Number two, I want you to consider our service. Listen to this service that happens. The service that happens in verses 3 to 10. Get this. I mean, Apostle Paul is going through so much in his life, and he's explaining so much to the Corinthians. Notice he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Shame on us as Christians. When people look from the outside and say, oh, those people go to Southside Baptist Church. Look at them. They're sitting at the bar just like everybody else. Shame on us. That should not be mentioned among us. Oh, those Christians at Southside Baptist Church, they're the most gossiping people. They talk about everybody. They knock everybody down. They destroy everybody. They fight with everybody. Shame on us for being named among those kind of people. Hey, what it should say, what people should say about us, and I'm not talking about making it up, what people should say is that church is a church that will love you. They'll take you just as you are, and they'll let God change you. They'll let God make a difference in your life. And they'll encourage you to do what God wants you to do. And they will edify you, and they won't kick you when you're down. They'll help you up. You know, the Bible doesn't say a just man falls seven times and then everybody kicks him when he's down, right? It says he riseth up again. Guess what? Sometimes when you rise up again, you know what needs to happen? Somebody needs to help you. Hey, buddy, I'm with you. Hey, friend, love you. What can I do? I know you're down. I know you're discouraged. I want you to consider this service, giving no offense. Listen, we are not to give an offense to the cause of Christ. Christians, there's so many things that should not be named among us, as the Bible says. The Bible says, and such were some of you. I believe that's in chapter 9. I love that chapter. Love that verse. Verse 4 says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience. Guess what? How many of us want to be patient here today? I had a couple people right before the service come to me and say, so Pastor, are you staying or are you going? I said, we're going to announce that in just a minute. Whew. Wait, I got to wait for 2 minutes to find out? Patience. Got to work it out. Afflictions. You mean I have to suffer if I get saved? Hey, last time I checked, lost people suffer too. The only difference is when Christians suffer, we have the upper ticker. When Christians suffer, we have the Lord on our side. Who is on the Lord's side? The song says the Lord is on our side. When the Lord's on, and the Word of God says the Lord's on our side. When we're suffering and we're afflicted, when the Lord's on our side, we know we can go forward. We can go on. You know why? Because we look to the cross of Calvary and say, if Jesus could do that for me, I know He'll be with me and He'll never leave me nor forsake me. In patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. I know all of you this morning wanted to come to church probably, and you wanted pastor to say, hey, if you're going to get involved in the Christian work, it's all going to be peaches and cream. It's all going to be wonderful. You're never going to have a problem. The money's going to start rolling in. It's going to be great. And if pastor's staying for a little while, that's wonderful. Everything's going to be wonderful. I promise you this, there's going to be bumps in the road. And if you live in Erie, Pennsylvania, there's going to be potholes. Let me change that. Craters. You know, just, you're going to lose your whole car. Brother, don't buy one of those little, you know, Honda Fits or something. You'll just, where'd he go? I don't know. He fell in the hole in Erie, Pennsylvania and never came back. You mean the car too? Yeah, it's gone. Hey, I'm telling you. Let me throw this out there since it's the subject. If God had sent a new pastor at this time, you'd have a lot of bumps in the road. Because I know he'd been worse than me, so no. You know where I'm going with this, right? If we stay, there are going to be a lot of bumps in the road. You know why? Because we're all humans. It's prone to happen. We're prone to wonder. But you know what? He's still on our side. He's still on our side. In stripes, in verse 5, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings, the service of the Lord can be difficult. I know every one of us here, if you have a job or if you, I mean, you, I know you have a job, regardless, even if it's flipping the remote control on TV. You know, sometimes your fingers get almost, you know, wore out. You know, you're flipping the, it's like, goodness, man, my thumb is killing. Can't figure out why my thumb's killing me, Pastor. What'd you do all day yesterday? I don't know. I was just channel surfing. Let me guess, it's probably your right thumb. Yeah, it just don't make any sense. It's sore. Every one of us has a job. And every one of us in our jobs, we have things we don't like. There's part of that job somewhere we don't like. Whatever it might be. Said, not me, I love my whole job. Okay, when somebody comes complains to you, you like that? I can't wait until somebody comes and knocks on my door or calls me on the phone and they just rip my ear off. Love that. No, every one of us that work have problems and have difficulties in our jobs. Verse number 6 says, by pureness, by knowledge, we ought to be pure as Christians. We ought to have some biblical knowledge, some understanding. By long suffering, boy, there's something that we need to preach about more, I think, in Christianity today. By kindness, by the Holy Ghost. We honestly, sometimes just expect that people, they get saved and they're perfect. Or they've been saved for 10 years and they should never have a problem. They should never talk bad about anybody. They should never do anything wrong. They're human. We need to be long suffering. It says, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth in verse 7, by the power of God. This is how we do our service. This is how we do our work. By the armor of righteousness. I'm going to do it because I'm strong and because I'm tough. But he says, by the armors of righteousness, or the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor. There are things that are going to happen in our lives. By evil report and good report. Boy, people will be against you when you're trying to do the right thing. As deceivers and yet true. People will blame you for being a deceiver, but yet you're telling the truth. Hey, you know, that's that gospel stuff. That's a bunch of phony baloney. Hey, no, it's true. You may not believe it. You may not like it, but it's the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but I also, last time I checked, the Bible says the truth shall make you free. You want to be free? Sure. Then we got to share the truth. That's what the servants of God do. That's what a few good Christian women, men, and Christians do today. As unknown and yet well known. Isn't that so true? Sometimes, you know, you just, hey, man, I could honestly, folks, I could go around this country and I could tell people, hey, my name's Pastor Brindley. There, look at me like, who in the world is Pastor Brindley? And some people, maybe in our church or somebody knows, you don't know Pastor Brindley? They do that to me all the time. They come to me. And I've been in Erie for 12 years, and people come to me. I was like, where do you go to church? And they're like, I go to church down at so-and-so. And they're like, do you know Pastor so-and-so? And I'm like, nope, never heard of him. Didn't even know your church building existed. Sorry. I mean, maybe I should know, but as known and unknown. Sometimes people may not have a clue who you are. But you know what? We're still supposed to be a witness. We're still supposed to be a servant. So our service, it goes on. It says we may have an evil report or a good report. It says in dying and being, and behold, we live. If we die physically, we live for eternity in heaven with Jesus. This is an amazing thing about Christianity. You got to be saved first, though, to experience this. So you got to have the ticket. The ticket is Jesus. It says, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich. Hey, that's what we talked about in Sunday school, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. That's what we do. We share the gospel with people. We serve God together. We have a vacation Bible school. Is it really worth it all? All that hard work, is it really worth it? It's worth it all when one little young child gets saved and receives Christ as their Savior. For eternity, they'll spend in heaven with Jesus. That's why we do it. Yeah, but they make the pews dirty, and sometimes they don't smell all that good, and they won't put their candy wrappers away. That's what I got Paul for. Paul gets after him. He says, now you got the candy wrapper. You got to put it in the trash can. Oh, okay. You know what? I have a feeling we just taught them something that maybe no one else has ever taught them. You can clean up after yourself. But more importantly than we teach them that they can clean up after themselves, we just taught them that Jesus loved them so much that he died on the cross for them. And they can go home to their mommies and daddies who are living in sin with needles in their arms and with bottles of alcohol they're consuming after one after another. They can go home and tell their mom and dad that Jesus loves them too. You mean he could love me? Somebody who does drugs? Somebody who does alcohol? Yes, he loves you. You see, they're poor. Yet we can share them with them the riches of Jesus. As having nothing, the Bible says, and yet possessing all things. You can die as a Christian with a zero bank account, or you can even be on the wrong end of that. But you can still be the richest man that's ever lived. And you will be, because you're in eternity with Jesus. You see, that's what we want to pass on in our service. We need a few good Christians in our service, that in service to him, that would pass that along. Quickly, let me give you this. Verse 11 says this, and ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is, get this, enlarged. I want you to get this word. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, but ye are also enlarged. I want you to think about this. When I got married 18 years ago, I weighed 165 pounds. That's what I still weigh 18 years later. I'm not telling you the truth. I put on some weight. I won't tell you what I weigh. It's a whole lot more than 165 pounds. I've enlarged. Okay, just bear with me. My belt has grown. I've had to let it out a few holes over the years. I've enlarged. But when my wife and I first got married, there was a lot we didn't know. One of the first things I told her is I said, honey, I've heard a lot of people. And she'll vouch, this is probably before we got married, I'm guessing. But I said, honey, I've heard a lot of people, a lot of husbands and wives have like, I mean, they almost to the point where they get a divorce because the toilet paper was put on the roll the wrong way. It either comes out underneath or over top. And you're all going like, yeah, that's right. It's got to be underneath. No, it's got to be over top. Look, woman. So I told her, I said, honey, to avoid this problem, this is how I want the toilet paper. I don't even remember what I told you. Did I tell you underneath? Over the top? I said, just put it over the top. It's honestly the way I like it. What I've learned, though, is it really doesn't matter as long as it's there. But you see what happened? I went from thinking it had to go over the top, so I might as well tell you so it doesn't cause a problem. And you may say that was wise. To today, meaning I'm just thankful that it's there. I'm thankful that we can go down to Walmart and buy toilet paper. So why are you talking about toilet paper? I don't get very deep sometimes. It's just, I'm glad it's there. So what has happened, Pastor? I've enlarged. I'm not talking physically. I've learned that the real importance is that it's there. You say, no, you missed out, Pastor. It's got to go over the top. No, it's got to go behind. No. As long as it's there. You say, what are you talking about? If you don't have any food on the table, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have no food in your cupboard today, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know that anybody in this house has that, or in this church has that. You know what? We just need to be thankful that it's there. Well, I got to have it, and it's got to be cooked a certain way. I hope your wife's not stubborn, because you might get it in your face or on your lap or down your shirt. Or she might just throw it in the trash can and say, fine, if you don't want it this way, you don't get it. You know what? We've enlarged. You say, this is silly. That's enlarging. You know what? My wife and I, our marriage has grown over the years. Well, we've fought about a lot of different things. Oh, we don't call it fighting. I forgot. Church pastors don't call it fighting. They call it discussions. Yeah. We've had a lot of discussions over the years. And I try to win every time, but I usually don't. Because she has to go historical on me. You said. Okay. But you know what? There's been a lot of enlarging. You say, yeah, you have. You got 7 kids now. You didn't have those when you first got married. You're right. God has enlarged our family. God is trying to enlarge us to be a blessing to more people. He's trying to enlarge Southside Baptist Church to get more people involved. He's trying to enlarge every one of us so that we can be more for the cause of Christ. Yeah, but it's easier if things just stay the way they are. We heard that a lot. People said they didn't want things to change. As a human, as a pastor, that's encouraging to some degree because you think, well, apparently people were somewhat satisfied with the way things are. But at the same time, it's kind of discouraging. Because if people aren't willing to enlarge the coasts, the church isn't going to grow. If people say, we want it this way, and this is how it has to be, and God says, I want it this way, what are we doing? We're saying, God, no, we're not going to accept that. It has to be our way or the highway. And God says, oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to enlarge you. I'm trying to stretch your limits. You know what's amazing? If you walk a mile every day, that's a wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. Keep doing that. But if you want to lose more weight, you're probably going to have to walk more each and every day. So I can't walk more than a mile. Okay. But I'm telling you, if you're trying to lose weight and you don't stretch your limit, you're more than likely not going to lose any more weight. You're going to stay at an even keel, or you might go up and down a little bit. But you got to stretch those limits. I want to run a marathon. Okay, I'm going to run a marathon. Say, Pastor, tell me you're not going to try to run a marathon. I'm not planning on trying to run a marathon. I tried that a few years ago, and I couldn't walk. So, anyways, you want to run a marathon, and you're still walking 1 mile, and that's all you're doing, you're never going to get ready for a marathon. You're going to have to stretch your limits. You're going to have to say, today I need to run 2 miles. Tomorrow, next week I need to run 5 miles. The week after that I need to be prepared so I can run 7 miles. And you say, hey, it's 26.2 miles to run a marathon. You don't prepare for a marathon in 1 week. You have to stretch your limits. We don't prepare for the marathon that God has for us just by what happened today. We prepare by letting God enlarge us and stretch our coast. Our stretching is what I entitled that. Our stretching. Paul says, hey, we need to enlarge. We need to stretch. Hey, if you've been doing the same thing for the last 20 years at the church, let me encourage you to change it up a little bit and stretch it a little bit and see how far God might just let it go. You say, maybe all I did was, I'll pick on Paul for a minute, all I've done for the last 20 years is hand out the bulletin at the church. Well, maybe you ought to hand out the bulletin, and then maybe you ought to still stretch your coast a little bit. And because you're good at handing things out, go out soul winning on a Saturday and say, here, I can stretch my coast and hand out a track. I don't even have to say anything, but here, this is for you. All I have to say is, this is for you. And I'm stretching my limits. You say, well, I could never do that. Then you'll never enlarge. Are you with me? We want to stretch our limits. If you want to be a bodybuilder and you want to pump more iron, you can't pump more iron by putting less on the bars. You're going to have to keep stretching your limits. And God wants to stretch and enlarge our coast so that we can be more for Him. That's what God wants out of His Christian workers, to be willing. And if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man hath and not what he has not. God wants us to have a willing mind. Okay, God, if you want me to stretch my coast, that means I got to do something I'm not real comfortable with. Then, Lord, I'm going to do that. I love it. It's amazing. Brother Terry, I know you've preached a lot probably over the years. And you know, you think about preaching. People, they'll look at you, Brother Terry, and they'll say, man, this guy, he gets up every Sunday and he preaches. He must have no nerves. He must never be afraid. I mean, he's just so comfortable up there in the pulpit. I've never been in a pulpit once and I was 100% comfortable. This is not my comfort zone. I'd rather sit where you are. I'd rather sit where you are, and I'd rather be unseen. But God says, nope. Here's what you need. God knew exactly what I needed. Far, far before 18 years ago, God knew exactly what I needed. He knew I needed a wife who would not let me settle. He gave me the most stubborn woman I have ever seen in my life. She will not let me settle. No, you said you were going to do it. You need to do it. Well, they called me and they want me to preach at this preacher's. I don't even like going to preacher's conferences. And they want me to preach and sing in a preacher's conference. And I say, honey, I just don't know. What do you mean you don't know? God's called you to preach. You sing. Get out there and do it. It's not what I want to hear. Listen, buddy. We got into this 18 years ago. Before that, I guess. But we got married 18 years ago. And we knew God wanted to use us. Guess what God's doing? He's stretching our limits. But Lord, I can't be here on Sundays and go out during the week and try to help somebody else. I just won't be able to get all my work done. God says, that's what you think. Let me stretch your limits. Let me stretch you to what God wants. But what if the people don't want that? You let me take care of the people. And I'll stretch their limits. if they're following me and they're being led by the Holy Spirit, God will stretch them as well. But I don't want to be stretched. It hurts. You ever have a sore muscle? I do sometimes with my wife. Honey, can you rub my back or my neck? Well, sure. She come over and rub my back. Oh, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Lord, I want to do something great for you. And the Lord says, just go soul winning on Saturday. What? But Saturday is my only day off work. It's my only family day. What was that quote? That was wonderful. I saw a quote yesterday that was amazing. Church should be your excuse for not going other places. Not going to other places should be your excuse for not going to church. Church should be the excuse. I'm sorry I couldn't come to your birthday party. I was at church. I just blamed church for something. I'm sorry I couldn't go fishing today, best friend. I was in church. That's my excuse. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Isn't that good? Stop making excuses and saying, well, I got to go to a birthday party. I can't do this. I can't go tell somebody about Jesus. Stop making that excuse and say, hey, buddy, I'm sorry I couldn't help you, but I was out telling somebody about Jesus. Sorry, they were a whole lot more important than you are. God wants to stretch our limits. Do you know what we want to do, Brother Jim? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pull that tooth. Oh, no, 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 no. Trust me, if I pull that tooth, you're going to feel a whole lot better. I don't know. Brother, I'm sure you probably pulled a tooth at some point in time, and somebody just instantly said, oh, I feel so much better. Like, what did I feel? I'm just like, I feel so much better. What did you just do? But you fought me tooth and nail to let me pull your tooth. Now you feel great. You see what I'm saying? My wife does not like the dentist. I won't say she hates the dentist because that's really mean, and we have a dentist in our midst. But you know what? When she goes to the dentist and gets a tooth fixed, she feels a whole lot better when she leaves. Except for she sleeps for like 12 hours. Novocaine's not supposed to make you tired, is it? But it's like sometimes, I don't know. And I do the same thing. I get Novocaine, I'm like, I gotta go take a nap. And when I wake up, usually my face is still numb. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And my pillow's all wet. Never mind. You'll figure that out later. God says, I want to stretch you, Brother Jim. You know what we do? We fight. You know, if you're trying to get your back adjusted, or if you're trying to get a massage or something like that, you know, if you're fighting them, it's so much harder for them to adjust your back. But if you relax, I love it. You know, I went in one time, and I had when I first came up here, I swung a golf club real bad, real hard, and I killed my lower back. I don't know what happened. I do have a bulging disc now. I almost think that's where it kind of started, but I don't know that for a fact. But I went into this guy, and I told him, I said, hey, my back is just killing me. I can't bend my leg. I had like sciatic down my left side. I bend my leg about that far, you know. And then, man, it was just like, it wouldn't go any further. It just would not go any farther. And I said, oh, man, it hurts. And he's like, well, just put your legs up here on the table, you know. And I'm sitting there like a lady would, you know, and she's going to a female doctor or whatever. I'm sitting up there with my legs up on the table. And he's like, so, yeah, well, tell me what happened. Oh! Ah! What in the world? And this huge pop. Had he told me, now put your feet up here and I'm going to, you know, I would have not done it. He says, just put your feet up here. He's like, so how'd things go? And you know why? I got up off that thing and I could walk. I should have said, if you ever do that again, I'm going to kill you. No. I didn't, but that's what I wanted to say to him. Had I known that was what was going to happen, I would have never went to him. However, the end result was exactly what I was looking for. But it took some cracking and some stretching to get me where I needed to be. Anybody else got a feeling maybe God's trying to adjust us a little bit? He's trying to stretch us just a little bit. Trying to get us to trust him just a little bit. Alexis, when she was little, you could not get her to take medicine. Couldn't get her to take medicine. She would not swallow a pill. She would not swallow anything that came off of a spoon because she thought it was all medicine. And my wife would literally have to sit on top of her. And I would have to help feed her the medicine. And it'd be rolling down the side of her cheek and everything. I'm fighting like you wouldn't believe. Guess what? In a few days, that amoxicillin worked. And the ear infection went away. But nobody likes the taste of that stuff. But sometimes it's what it takes. Lord, I don't like the taste of what I'm going through right now. And God's just saying, wait a minute. I'll stretch your limits. It's amazing if you ever start stretching. You know, most guys are like this. Oh, yeah, I'll stretch my toes. Oh, how come I can't touch my toes? Like, what's going on? But day after 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 day, you're going to say, oh, pastor can touch his toes. Yeah. But it takes time. And it takes stretching. And stretching hurts. It literally rips and tears your muscles down. But then it builds them up. Our soccer coach would make us come and, like, the first day of soccer practice, he'd make us run a mile. Most of us had been eating Twinkies and ding-dongs all summer. He says, you're going to run a mile today. What? Okay. Come on, get the lead out. All right, we run a mile. Some of the guys guess what? We'd come back the second day. All right, guys, we're running a mile. What? Why it hurt so bad? And he would literally do that for 3 days in a row. Three. If I was Ainsley, this is what he would do. Three, Dad. For 3 days in a row, he killed us, literally. I'm like, what are you doing to us? He stretched our limits so far. And he'd say, all right, guys. You don't have to come back tomorrow. We get a day off? Yeah! We get a day off. He said, but don't get used to it. Because you'll be back here on Thursday or Friday or whatever day it would be. And you're going back to it. And I'm telling you, we hurt so bad. You get up in the morning and your muscles are so sore. What in the world? But I'm telling you this. After that first week of training and that first week of exercise, by the second week when he'd say, let's go run a mile, guess what? I wasn't out of breath like I was the week before. He was building us up. He literally tore us down, gave us a day of rest, and then started beating on us again. But eventually, what could we do? We could run a mile. Eventually, we could play in an entire game. Our midfielders could run around the field the whole time. Not like Jared. He just stands in the back and watches those guys. And he says, hey, go do that. Go, you got to get the ball. Get it. All right, Jared. I'm just teasing. He knows why he's back there. He knows why he's back. No, I'm just kidding. He could go up there and play any of those positions. I'm confident. But our midfielders could run around the entire field the whole game. Why? All because the coach stretched our limits. We don't want to run a mile. Okay. Don't matter if you want to or not, you're going to do it. And he stretched our limits. You know what God wants us to do? To enlarge. I'm not talking about waistbands. I'm talking about spirituality. God wants to stretch us today. I want you to notice in verses 14 through 17, I'll give these last 2 points quickly. I think they'll hit home. I want you to consider it. God wants a few good Christians He wants us, not only he wants us to be saved, he wants us to serve, he wants to stretch us, but he wants to see us separated. He wants to see our separation. You know what? God has not commanded us to be of this world. We do have to live in this world, but verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath that he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore," notice this, God wants us to be separated. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." If you stick around for the afternoon service, I'm going to preach a message that really goes right along with that verse. But it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, thus saith the, or saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." God says, I want you to be separate. As a Christian, he stretches our limits, because in reality, he says, what the things you used to do, I don't want you to do them anymore. The things you used to say, I don't want you to say them anymore. The places you used to go, I don't want you to go there anymore. You say, well, where am I supposed to go? You're supposed to walk in the ways of truth. You're supposed to walk the straight and narrow. You're supposed to go where God would want you to go. And he stretches our limits there, but he says, I want you to be separated. Listen, teenager, Christian, adult, listen, God does not want you to look, act like, dress like, seem like, be like the world. He wants you to be separate. People ought to know that you're a Christian. He wants a few good Christians. He wants a few good men. He wants a few good women today to stand up and live for what's right. Listen, I'm all about distinction. I'm telling you, hey, there's a difference. There needs to be a distinction. Hey, if you're a lady, people ought to know you're a lady. There's a lot of ways for people to know that you're a lady. Some of those ways you don't want to use. That might entitle you not wearing a whole lot of clothes. There's other ways for people to find out that you're a lady than for you to show everything off. Be a Christian lady. Show people. Let people know that, hey, God has blessed me. Listen, there's far too many people that, and I know that Dove commercial, are you comfortable in your own skin? There's far too many people that aren't comfortable. They're not comfortable that God made them a woman. They're not comfortable that God's made them a man. Now they're trying to be one or the other. Be what God's created you to be. Be grateful for it. Be thankful for it. I've never been so happy in my life that I'm not a woman. I'm serious. You're like, this guy's nuts. I would be the ugliest woman in the world anyways if I was. Right. You're with me. But you know what? If you are a woman, you ought to feel the same way. I'm glad God's made me a woman. Now they're going to bleep that out and say, Pastor just said he's glad that God made him a woman. No, I didn't. It was an illustration, right? Ladies, you ought to be thankful God's created you to be who you are. And we ought to be willing to separate from the world and say, you know, I'm not going the world's route. I'm not doing the world's thing. I'm going to be what God has created me to be. Notice in verse 18, and we'll close with this. Verse 18 says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." That's the doctrine, if you will, of sonship. We become, as many as received him, to them gave he to be able to become the sons of God, the Bible says. I messed that verse all up, but you know what I'm talking about. To be able to become the sons of God. We are his. We belong to him. Listen, that sonship that God says, he wants a few Christians. He wants our relationship to grow stronger, our fellowship to go stronger. People ought to know. It's like Moses. You know, Moses came out, and man, they had to put a veil over his face because he was shown so bright, because everybody had known he'd been with God. I honestly believe this in all my heart, that people ought to be able to tell that we've been with Jesus. People ought to be able to see it all over our face. You know what? I fear most of the time in Christianity, this is what people see. Sour grapes. You just chewed on a lemon. You just been with Jesus. Nah. Our sonship, our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord is not what it ought to be. We wonder why we as Christians aren't busy doing the Lord's work. We don't quite understand. We don't quite get it. We don't want to be involved in God's work. You know why? Because your relationship with God isn't right. Your fellowship with God isn't where it should be. Listen, he says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Listen, folks, I want you to know God's looking for a few good Christians. My children have privileges that no one else in this church have around me. They had such a wonderful privilege this week that we all had the stomach bug and we shared it together. But we shared it because they're my children. If I could have stopped it, I would have. To the best of my knowledge, I hope we didn't pass it on to anybody else. We tried not to. They can't help the fact that they're my kids. I feel sorry for them, and so should you. But they are mine, and they are my wife's. But along the way, you know what happens? They grow up. And sometimes you step back and you say, when did Aaliyah get so tall? I missed out on something. Now that's dad coming from dad. Now, I know the Lord doesn't miss out on anything, but sometimes I say, I missed out on a few things. I need to spend a little bit more time with Aaliyah. I need to spend a little bit more time with AJ. I need to spend a little bit, as a dad, I need to spend. You know what? The reality about that and the truth is, we as Christians need to spend a little bit more time with God. Some of us might need to spend a lot more time with God, but we need more time. He's not too busy. Sometimes we as dads and moms can be a little bit too busy. He's not too busy. He has all the time in the world. He created time. He created the world. So he has all the time in the world. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time you got alone with him? Sometimes my children, when I just get alone with them, that's all they need. I get alone with Alexis, I don't even need to talk. My ears burn so bad. She just blah, 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 blah. But you know what? She doesn't do that to everybody. Everybody else would say, Alexis won't quit talking. She won't quit talking to her dad. She told me the other day in the van, I think it was just the other day, she said, Dad, next to my sister, you're probably the best friend I got. I thought, well, that's not really my priority as a dad to be your best friend, but that felt pretty good. Knowing my daughter is willing to talk to her dad. I don't know how many daughters and dads have that relationship today because they've gotten so far separated. But God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How's our sonship today? How's our relationship? God's looking for a few good Christians. The altar's open here this morning.